Lloyd Austin back in the hospital this morning, but this time the defense secretary didn't keep it under wraps. He's transferred his authority to his deputy, Kathleen Hicks. On Wall Street, the Dow, 17 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to the issue today, we're talking about shooters in the church. Let me say thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We've been doing this for about almost 10 years now. We've had the privilege of coming to you by way of this radio network, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you have called in down through the years. We've had dialogue and discussion about the issues. We've had the privilege of coming to you each and every day, 5 days a week, for over almost 10 years. So let me say this. If this is a blessing to you, if this broadcast is edifying, beneficial, encouraging and challenging, informative, and you get a benefit and an opportunity to know what's happening from a central biblicist standpoint, let me encourage you to financially underwrite our new contract. We go into a new contract in the month of March, and our network cost will go from about $48,000 a year to just under $72,000 a year. We need your financial support for us to continue this broadcast. Go to fcbcatjax.com. Go to the donate button and make a contribution that would be generous, and on a monthly basis, support this broadcast that we might remain on the air. Now, I've always avoided trying to talk anything, say anything about money. But I want you to understand that we're having to do so. If you want to see us remain, if you want to see us continue to be the watchman on the wall, then we invite you to generously support Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to what God's going to do as we're faithful in honoring Him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about shooters in the church. We're talking about the event that took place at Lakewood Church yesterday about 2 o'clock in Houston, Texas, where a gunman, a woman, walks in. I'm looking at a headline. I'll read this headline in a couple of paragraphs. Then we'll have our next caller. 2 injured, including a child, after shooting at Osteen's Church, Lakewood Church, Houston, Texas. The shooter is also down. A woman in a trench coat armed with a long gun and accompanied by a young child, entered the Lakewood Church on Sunday afternoon and began firing. Houston Police Chief Troy Finner said, 2 off-duty law enforcement officers, a Houston police officer and an agent with the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, engaged and struck the woman. who died on the scene. The woman was roughly 30 to 35 years of age, according to the police chief. Quote, "I want to commend those officers. She had a long gun, and it could have been a lot worse. But they stepped up, and they did their job, and I want to thank them for that." The woman had also threatened she had a bomb, but authorities searched her vehicle and her backpack that she was wearing and found no explosives. The speaker said she was also spraying some type of substance on the ground, according to the chief of police. The pastor said the shooting took place in between services, noting the timing of the incident likely helped prevent further injuries and more damage. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that shooting, you watch what I'm telling you. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but we're going to find a hue and cry coming out of the White House with Joe Biden and his cabal that's going to say, we need further gun control. We need more legislation. Do you realize just last year, 2023, I think there were some 100 different potential bills being introduced with different fragments and phases and parts of gun control. But the more we restrict the citizen from keeping and bearing arms, the more we're going to find the proliferation of these shootings and others like it, especially, ladies and gentlemen, with our open borders. We're allowing thugs. We're allowing, in fact, these third world countries are opening their prisons, opening their insane asylums, and releasing all of those that are harmful to their society, and they're allowing them to come into America. We're finding police officers being beaten. We're finding people being raped, robbed, and murdered in open daylight on the sidewalk in major cities. And yet all we see is the arrest, the next day releasing them and saying that we are not going to hold them, not going to prosecute them, we're not going to deport them. And at the same time, saying we need more gun control. When they say gun control, ladies and gentlemen, I simply shiver to think about more and more infringement on our Second Amendment right. And as I said earlier, out of our Ten Amendments, only the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed upon. So we need to recognize that. We need to realize that we have those today in society, those in state after state after state, and the federal government that would have us believe that somehow, some way, we need to reduce the number of weapons in order to protect society. One writer said, one person, spokesperson at Lakewood Church says, we're going to stay strong. We're going to continue to move forward. There are forces of evil, but the forces are for us. The forces of God are stronger than those evil forces. This article states again, headline, man and child injured, armed suspect killed at the Lakewood Church in Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is that I ask the question, should churches be armed? Should churches, in fact, I've said for several years, ladies and gentlemen, I believe churches and schools today need to post signs on their campus saying, this is not a gun-free zone. This is not a gun-free zone. Try that on for size. This is not a gun-free zone. Yet we have those today in political positions that are saying that we need to protect people, so therefore we need to limit the number of citizens with firearms. Let me read you from my book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense, page 31. George Washington said this, firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance that are the people's liberty teeth. Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. James Madison said, Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike citizens of all other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Samuel Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own firearms. We have James Donald. The usual road to slavery is the first they take away your guns, then they take away your property, then last of all they tell you to shut up and say you are actually enjoying it. George Mason said, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave all people. Thomas Jefferson, the Constitution of our states asserts that all power is inherent in the people, that is, in their rights and duties to be at all times armed. Patrick Henry said, "We should not forget that the spark which ignited the American Revolution was caused by a British attempt to confiscate firearms of the colonists." We find Thomas Paine, "Arms discourage and keep the invader and plummeter in awe and preserve order in the world as well as property. Horrid mischief would ensure were the laws abiding deprived of the use of them." May I say, ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative that we understand that what we have just witnessed in this shooting, horrific, horrible, as bad as it is, we're going to find those that want to restrict our right to keep and bear arms simply because of it. The mindset is that we should infringe on the Second Amendment, and that is the only one of the Ten Commandments not to be infringed upon. Ladies and gentlemen, across America, schools and churches are, you've heard me say this before, the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, churches and schools have become known as gun-free zones. Since 1999, and I touched on this in the early portion of the monologue, since 1999, America has witnessed about 1,300, now that's a little more, a little less, about 1,300 church and school shootings. Just recently, we witnessed a transsexual, wannabe male, go into the Covenant Christian Academy in Tennessee, and entering the school, shot several people. I believe it was six people. It is not if, but when this happens again. What we've witnessed, what we're talking about today, with what just happened at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, is not the end of the shootings in a church. It is not the end of horror and tragedy in churches and schools. And it's simply because churches and schools have been known so long for being gun-free zones. And it's because so many states, ladies and gentlemen, that restrict guns and say guns cannot be found in houses of worship. Many state laws today restrict the ownership and the carry of weapons into a local New Testament church. One of those states, I believe Georgia still says that you can't have weapons in a church. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, more and more infringements on the Second Amendment rights, the right of self-defense. Joe Biden, with his executive orders, continue to what I call whittle away at our Second Amendment rights. I'm looking at a headline. Biden announces new gun control measures, and here's what his executive orders will do. President Joe Biden will sign an expansive executive order on gun control as the U.S. continues to face mass shootings and incidents of gun violence without Congress taking a comprehensive action. The Biden administration will now help expand public awareness of the red flag laws already in place in 19 states, which allow a person's firearms to be taken away if he or she is considered dangerous, as well as taking steps to promote safe storage of firearms. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just touch on that before I read another paragraph in this article. Are you familiar with the new laws that they have instituted that require you to have your firearm safely stored? Picture now, your home is being entered by a burglar, a thief, a would-be killer. And you say, "Mr. Burglar, wait a minute, I've got to go to the closet. I've got to look under the clothes on the shelf and find that little case. Then I've got to find my key to unlock that case. Then I've got to take my firearm out and put the clip in it. And then I've got to chamber a round, and then I can come protect myself." That's literally, in fact, many of these new state and federal laws with firearm control, you've got to have the firearm stored and locked in a case. You've got to have the ammo separate from that firearm so that you cannot just put it together real quick and do something to self-defense. A firearm in a home like that is worthless. Ammo in a home is worthless. If you've got it stored in separate places, you've got to find the key, you've got to unlock the case, you've got to take the trigger lock off, then you've got to arm yourself and defend yourself. But ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are in America today. In fact, with the gun control mindset, the number of mass shootings have occurred, 110 mass shootings, this writer says, have occurred just in 2023, according to the Gun Violence Archives. Ladies and gentlemen, should we have armed security in the church? Should citizens have the right to carry a weapon in a worship service? I believe we need to consider what the end results are if we do not do that. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go over the question or comment, please.
Well, sir, in the totality, yes, you should have armed security in church. And yes, you should be able to defend yourself. I'm thankful that the watchmen were on the wall and they were armed and ready to take care of business. I understand it happened after their first morning service and just before, I guess, they were going to have a Hispanic service. So, you know, at any church, when the crowds are ebbing and flowing, that's a lot of folks coming and going for most churches. So trying to pick out the threat or potential threat or what you'd call a JDLR, just don't look right, something with a trench coat and a backpack and a long rifle should not look right. So they obviously realized there was a threat and were able to take care of business quickly. It's sad that you have to put down the wolf, but you protect the sheep. The sheep don't understand that violence must be used against potential violence or in the act of violence in order to protect the sheep. This individual, I understand, brought a young child with her. So it kind of reminds me of what they do in Palestine, where they bring their women and children with them. So if you return fire, you hit them, and they can blame it on the Israelis. So I don't know what the situation is, and we'll find out in the future. But God bless the two men that were there paying attention and taking action, not running for cover and waiting for the sheep to get slaughtered. The sheepdogs took care of business. You hate to shoot somebody at church. I'm retired law enforcement. I'm also on a security team at my church. I teach Sunday school. I'm one of the deacons, and I'm an ordained pastor. And I have the mindset of protecting the sheep. I'm wearing a gun teaching Sunday school. I've been called out of class in order to take care of business or investigate a situation. But fortunately, nothing severe like this has happened yet. But you have to have the mindset that it can at any time happen in your church. Your gun-free zones are wolf-friendly zones. That's just the way it is. The sheep have the mindset that, oh, nothing bad will happen at church. Those sheep are forever damaged because their realization, their reality has changed. Something bad did happen at church. But they're always critical of sheepdogs, afraid of firearms, like you were saying before. They want you to take so many steps for a firearm to be safe. And the problem is, if you don't know how to use it, if you don't have the experience with a firearm, you're already not safe. But a safe weapon in the eyes of someone who carried a gun for 25 years on the job, one that doesn't have a bullet in the chamber or you can't get to, puts you in an unsafe situation for self-defense. Now, of course, you have to take steps to make sure that minor children don't get a hold of a firearm or someone who shouldn't have access to one. So you got to take those steps. But the safest place for that gun is on you in a secure location so it can't just be snatched. That's another whole story for open carry. If they're not prepared to defend themselves from somebody snatching the gun, they probably shouldn't have an open carry. They shouldn't wear one open carry is what I'm saying. I know Georgia is an open carry state. So if you go to Kingsland up here just north of me, they're walking around. They got guns on their hips. That's nice. That's fine. Yes, sir, and no, sir came right back almost immediately. I just hope that the individual carrying the firearm realizes they have to protect the firearm that's in the holster so someone doesn't reach up and grab it. But that being said, we have to be vigilant to protect our sheep. And I'm talking about the people that come to worship, and specifically and especially the children. Those are our responsibility. That church now will forever be known as the place where that shooting took place. The good news is the bad guy's down, okay? And it looks like, I understand the child is in critical condition. I don't know if that's the child she brought or if it's another child. And apparently a man got shot in the hip. So praying for the recovery of those innocents. But, oh, it could have been so much worse. So much worse.
Absolutely. Glenn, ladies and gentlemen, this is Glenn Youngblood, one of our four sons. I'm thankful for his insight after having 25-plus years in law enforcement. Glenn, with that law enforcement background and insight, speak to the issue of so many of the states that are restricting guns in churches. Speak to the issue of what we need to do as churches, having what's called a security team. What does that mean? What does it connote? How is it to be carried out? What if there's a shooting and some of the security team stands and starts firing back at the shooter and law enforcement arrives? What do you do? What's the scenario? Speak to that for a few minutes for us.
Oh, we need about 30, 45 minutes for that response. But that's here we go again with the shotgun approach. The answer is yes. Every church needs a security team, and they need a security team that is proficient not only with the use of a firearm or when not to use a firearm or even bring a firearm out. That's the very, very, very last thing you want to have to do, especially at a church. But you have to have the right mindset. You have to have observation skills. You have to be able to handle a situation because you'll have thousands of situations that are not a deadly force situation. That is the very, very last thing you want to happen at church, but you have to be prepared for that. A lot of folks will join a security team, and they're like, well, you know, if a bad guy comes in, we'll shoot him. Holy smoke. No. Unless it's a deadly force situation, and you need to be able to articulate that in court, that you were in fear for your life or great bodily harm, or the life of another individual or their great bodily harm before you can deploy deadly force. Like I said, that's a very, very slim chance that can happen, but it does happen. And then if you're in that situation, now you're the subject of investigation. You are the suspect if you're the shooter. Even the sheriff got on the television. He was saying that the agent and the deputy both have to go through the investigation. It's a homicide investigation to determine if they did everything according to state statute and according to protocols and general orders for the sheriff's office and or the state agency. Now, that being said, because everybody seems to focus on the firearm, okay, one of the most dangerous situations is where did the child go, okay, if someone's not paying attention to their preschool or their nursery, domestic violence situations, injunctions where the parent's not supposed to have custody of the child and come in and try to demand one of the nursery workers release a child. That's actually happened at our church. Mm-hmm. We had to confront something like that. There's so many variables, but it's the mindset of the sheepdog to protect the sheep, to stand in the gap, all right, between the innocent and the evil. And it requires proficiency and knowledge of possible the deploying of deadly force and or some sort of intermediate weapon and or physical restraint. Did you know in the state of Florida, you can physically restrain a trespasser for the police, but reasonable force is what is articulated and coming all the way down from the federal court level. Reasonable. If you can articulate reasonable to 12 jurors, so something that's unreasonable, you're in trouble. If you're not within the state statutes and guidelines, you're going to be in trouble. You have to have that mindset and be able to articulate that. Here again, proficiency comes with practice and training. We've had some people that wanted to be on a security team, and right away you knew something was wrong. They might have been, well, helpful, but they didn't have the mindset. Even in Uvalde, Texas, you had some officers that were deployed, and their supervision told them not to go in. They had 200 or 300 armed deputies, officers, agents outside while the man was inside killing people. Wow. That should have, from the time of Columbine, the two shooters with bombs also in Columbine, the training for active shooter changed, okay? You don't wait. You make contact. If it's an active shooter, you make contact. You go in, you take care of business, and you take the threat, you put the threat down. You make the threat stop by whatever means necessary, okay? And then we'll worry about all the rest of the stuff. This woman apparently came in with the trench coat, long gun, backpack, and was spraying something. They haven't detailed what that is yet. And this, then she said she had a bomb. I don't know what she was spraying. Could that have been something biohazard, some chemical? Could have been pepper spray, something flammable, incendiary? The variables go in all directions. You need to know where your emergency medical devices are, AEDs. You need to know where your fire extinguisher is. You need to know the address of the location you're at, your church, your school, hospital, wherever you are. If you don't know where you are, we can't find you. We can't help you. Number one thing I was doing, teaching, training rookies as a field training officer, you get them into a situation, say, where are you? And they go, I don't know. Well, then we can't help you. You're toast. You're all by yourself. We don't care who you are. We want to know where you are. And you better know when you dial 911. Fortunately, those guys were on the scene to take care of business. But at the same time, somebody needed to be on the phone with 911 detailing where they are, what's going on, what the suspect looks like. And here again, you said, what about armed security personnel? When our uniformed officers arrive on the scene, they don't know your armed security for your church unless there's some sort of protocol already established to signify who you are. So you comply with armed uniforms, or with the uniforms come, you comply. If they say get on the ground, put your hands on your head, put the gun down, you better do it, because you could be subject to what's called friendly fire. And trust me, it's not friendly. Those bullets will hurt or kill you just like they killed a bad guy. All right. Taking deadly force in a place with a crowd, worst case scenario. It's a worst case scenario that innocents aren't hit by stray bullets. You better know what's between you and the target, where the target is. I'm talking about the suspect. Okay. And what's beyond the target in the event they duck or somebody stands up in between you, runs in between you. If you don't have a shot, you can't take the shot. That's just the way it is.
Glenn, a question. We've got about 1 minute before our time elapses today. I'm looking at the headline, Allowing Guns in Churches Flies in the Face of Tradition and Scripture. Subtitle, Pistol Packing Parishioners May Soon Like a Way to Guard Against the Church Shooting. They have become commonplace recently. But there's a long history of Christianity opposing such strategies. I've read the article, and the article in summary says, many, many Christians feel that you should not shoot back, you should not have armed guards, should not have weapons in a church. We've got about 20 seconds. Touch on that and wrap it up with what Christians should do, how we should respond.
I believe the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to protect our family. If we don't take protection and provide for our families, and that church family is our family, okay, Christian brothers and sisters, and it says if we're not going to take care of our family, we're worse than an unbeliever, worse than an infidel. I think there's a book written on this subject. But here again, if you cannot defend yourself in a church situation, if you do not have an armed security team to defend the church members, you are wide open. Okay. You're going to be a victim. It's not if, it's when.
Glenn, that's right. Thank you for joining us today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old